For July the 15th, 2016, we talk about Pokemon Go mostly, gonna be honest with you. But also a little bit about Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix. Welcome to level 158. My name is Cole Ross.
My name is David Meinsmith.
I'm Jella Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
Ben, you have no excuse. You're always last. This is a mess. Oh no!
This is did it not register?
No, it registered. It's just it was funny that you that you didn't realize you were going last. Oh my gosh! And this is The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Off the rails already. I'm not retaking that. I may edit it so there are not as many pauses, but go ahead.
We are all topsy turvy. It is fine.
Yeah, it's there's no Dennis, and I think that he's the stabilizing factor in a lot of this. So we're here. I think last week I implied that we were going to be off this week. In fact, I know when I called for the show to start, he was like, "Wait a minute, what?" And like even David, you gave your farewell last week, but this is going to be the last one for a while.
For reals, this time.
Roll.
Yeah. Oh man, everything is a mess because we're getting ready for a big thing. You're going to be able to see me, Jala, and Ben at the Austin Classic Game Fest. Mentioned it a while back, and we've got details about it. But that is coming up here in a couple of weekends. There are 7 weekends in Austin, but it's going to be the last one. And we're doing a live Watch Out for Fireballs. We're going to have a booth set up, handing out buttons and stickers. I just designed those, and they're cool. And we're going to be talking about Punch Out.
Yay!
Nice. Yeah.
So, punch them up.
Yes, we will. And it's going to be a good time. We've got a meetup and everything, so I'm going to do that plug at the top. Duckfeed.tv/Austin-2016 to see all of the relevant information, when it goes up. But yeah, that's getting ready for that and a vacation, my first vacation in 12 years. And I guess David, you're still getting ready to travel.
I'm actually talking on an airplane. I'm pissing off everyone else in there.
Just tell them what you're doing and they'll understand.
Got a thing. Okay, so listener Ollie joined the America Marathon Challenge team. Mm-hmm. So that means it's me, Ollie, David Petroco, and Trevor. And we've got 4 badges so far and collectively have logged over 230 miles in just over a week. We also have some spots still open, so if anybody is interested in doing this thing, if you walk, jog, run, swim, bike, hike, as long as it's not your car, basically, like rickshaw, mm-hmm. He could join.
What about Segway?
I was going to say Heelys. Do Heelys count?
Ooh, good question.
Heelys are worth double.
Cool. What about sick grinds? Can I do sick grinds across America
with your soaps?
Yes, with my Vans brand soaps grinding shoes.
Whatever happened with, like,
I think enough people crack their heads open.
Okay, that's one of those things. I don't know, am I the only one that ever has something from my childhood that I periodically think back to it, I'm like, what the hell?
It's like lawn darts for your feet. this is exciting, Jala. So
I'm so pissed off about lawn darts.
Oh man, I've gotten to play lawn darts. My dad has a pair, and we have to, or a set, and we have to do it by cover of night.
I was shocked.
Lawn
I tried to find some online, and you straight up can't find them.
Well, no, you can't.
What the fuck are lawn darts? I don't even know what you're talking about.
They're...
Go to estate sales. You can find them there.
I'm just saying, like, lawn darts are where, like, you can... The internet is where you can go on and buy people's, like, credit card numbers and, like...
Yeah.
Crazy whatever porn and like pretty much everything, but you can't buy lawn darts.
Yeah, I think that easily accessible lawn darts on the internet went down with Silk Road.
Yeah, I was about to say, I kind of want to wish I had checked Silk Road to see if they actually had them.
Yeah, Jala, lawn darts are, they are heavy metal weighted kind of javelins that are meant to be thrown underhand at a hoop that you put by your feet. So I don't
understand. Why would you do that?
think of it like horseshoes with a body count.
Okay.
Or mixed with five finger filet.
And it is the greatest children's game ever. And I sincerely like, I'm going to get some for when I have kids.
Yeah, they only broke it out in the lean times when there was not enough food for everybody. Let us initiate the lawn dart culling.
I feel like they're not that dangerous.
David, I'm trying to get Jala to give us relevant details about this marathon thing. Sorry. It keeps going back to lawn darts.
It all goes back to lawn darts.
I suppose. Jala, this is an exciting thing. The marathon thing. Duck Waddle, right?
Yeah, it's Duck Waddle. That's our team name. It's very neat.
Yeah, how can people participate?
Well, they can hit me up, or they can just go to amarathonchallenge.com, and then they can register, and then hit me up and tell me that they want to be part of the team or whatever. Then once you're in the tracker app that they've got, you can search for the team Duck Waddle. It's just one word. And then, you know, request to join, and then we approve you, and then, bam, you're in there.
Yeah.
That's it. And, but you like it, obviously, like letting me know, or David Petroco or somebody who's in the team know that you're going to be doing that. So that way we're not like, who the hell is this random person? You know?
And if you're in the Slack, you can go to the hashtag wellness actually channel. Yep. where most of that stuff goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So that's real cool.
It is real cool because I just watched two flyover videos for both of the two badges we just earned because Ollie joined. It's mm-hmm. pretty awesome.
Nice.
And Ollie's in Ireland. You can do this from anywhere. So it's not just Americans. Other people can do it too.
Do his, I guess not miles, kilometers count like 20x? Because Ireland's a very small country compared to America.
He enters it in under miles.
Okay.
He can do the conversions. He's a smart lad.
I know.
I don't even know what's happening anymore.
We can move on now.
Yes, we can. Oh man. So yeah, that's a bunch of cool stuff happening. The Marathon Duck Waddle Austin Classic Game Fest. Yeah, it's a busy summer. Oh boy. But why don't we move on with the show, because we are busy and tied up with stuff, and we want to hit you with the good stuff. Banter achieved, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So let's go on with the regular show. The brief, the multiplayer, and the grind, and we're gonna start with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Do you mind if I do mine first? Because it's real short.
Go for it.
Yeah. So a game I've been looking forward to for a while called Quadrilateral Cowboy has actually just gotten a release date here yesterday. It's coming out on July the 25th. This is a game done by Brendan Chung, who also works under the name Blendo Games. They did 30 Flights of Loving and Gravity Bone. Nice. And this is a kind of a similar first person, exploration kind of game, except you're performing heists and it's a hacking game. So you have like a little computer dingus, and you have to type in various commands to program little routines to get around the security systems, program drones to move around. And yeah, I think that this looks A, baffling, but B, really cool. And it's been in development for, I think, like 3 years. Yeah. So,
so then that's very exciting because it's been in development for so long that you're like, oh my God, a release date soon.
Yeah. It's not one of those things where I've been like champing at the bit for it. Like every single day, I'm not like refreshing the Twitter feed, but like, oh, pretty great. The bummer is it's going to, yeah, it's coming out in like September on Mac and Linux, but I've got a Windows machine. Like, let's roll it up. Come on, man. But yeah, yeah, July 25th.
Yay.
Yeah, Ben, I think
is this going to be more of like an actual game than the other? You know what I mean? Like, I don't mean that to be negative on the others. I mean, but know what I mean.
This isn't going to be like a like an impressionistic, you know, first person tone poem like those first ones were. I'm led to believe, and from the gameplay that I've seen and from hearing people talk about it, this really is a kind of a more substantial thing because of the mechanical hook that it has.
Nice.
You know, with the hacking kind of thing. But I'm going to be curious to hear what you think about it, because I know that you dug Gravity Bone and 30 Flights, right?
Yeah, I played both of them. I think Gravity Bone I just played one time, and then 30 Flights to the Loving I think I played at somebody else's house one time, but thankfully they're not long games, so it wasn't, you know, a bother. But yeah. I don't know. I did not know that they were developing a third game, so I have not been champing at the bit either.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in it.
I would recommend you take a look at it specifically with your interest in programming and, you know, like algorithmic type stuff.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, so that's mine. Supposed to be short. Jala, I'm curious which you brought.
I brought that Batman's got a Telltale game series in the works.
Yeah.
So I didn't know this before, so maybe this is really old hat to somebody else, but there is like a little bit of an interview with people who made it, and it's supposedly focusing on the balancing of decisions made as both Bruce Wayne and as Batman, with Batman's obviously being more action-oriented. This is apparently a new story. It's not one that's been told before. It's not one from the comics. This is something that they got licensed to just do on their own. This is supposed to be set during the beginning-ish of the career, but not year one, a little bit more seasoned than that, but still pretty early on. Like, he first meets Catwoman in this story and that kind of a thing. Confirm grappling hook. And batarangs, drones, and the Batmobile, of course.
You have me at grappling hook.
Yes, I know. That's why I had to tell you. Also, there is supposed to be a detective mode, which it wasn't described in the video I saw, but they did say that it has features that have never been seen in a Telltale game before, which I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean, other than it is different, and it's called the detective mode. And there's also a combo system in the combat this time around. It's still QTEs, but if executed properly, you get finishing moves that, according to the director of the game, make you feel really good. And then also it's got, like, you know, kind of like the slow-mo matrixy sort of combat thing, I guess, so you have time to do your button pushes. And then episode one is going to be available in August, and the rest is planned to come out by the end of the year. So by the end of the year, they will be releasing like the completion of the Batman Telltale. So it's interesting. One thing that I had mentioned to David right before we were recording was, you know, like, it's interesting to see Batman end up in a Telltale game, just because, like, you know, Batman is usually, you know, people, they like to be the Batmans with the beating up of things. So, you know, it's a little bit interesting that it's getting the Telltale treatment, but, you know, doesn't everything these days.
This is the first Telltale game I've looked forward to probably since, let's say, halfway through the run of Walking Dead season 2.
Yeah, and that's kind of my feeling too. Like, there have been a bunch of different Telltale games. I've played the Walking Dead ones. I really haven't had a big amount of interest in the other Telltale type, you know, games that have come out since then. But about this one, I'm probably going to pick this one up, like the first episode when it comes out, which is rare for me. So that's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a Telltale approach would lean into the things that I like about Batman.
Exactly. Like, and that's the thing, because, like, for me, one of my biggest gripes about Batman comics and media in general is that they have been, over time, just getting away from the whole detective angle. Like, Batman's not a detective anymore. He's just kind of like, where's the girl? Blah, 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 you know, kind of bullshit.
Swear to me.
Yeah. And so anyway, I mean, I know that's not 100% the case, but it's more often than not. And it's not, you know, detective so much anymore. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going to be interesting about this for me, is that that's going to, like you say, be more the kinds of things that I'm interested in about Batman. So.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about this as well. Yeah, I think it's really impressive that they gave them the ability to write the narrative of the story. I think that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was one of the questions in the little interview I saw. And they specifically said, well, they gave them, it was kind of funny. They were like, they gave us access to 75 years worth of content, which makes me think that DC just kind of like threw piles of summaries at them and was like, but you can do your own thing if you want to. But here's all this stuff, you know?
If we throw it at them, maybe they'll go away.
Yeah, right.
They're doing like a defense, you know, legal defense does. Let's give them a doc bomb.
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
So.
Batman doxing?
Well, how else is the Joker supposed to figure out where he lives?
Exactly.
Hmm.
I kind of hope that if you, you know, just let time expire on a message, instead of defaulting to dot, 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 it just defaults to I'm Batman.
It should default to punch, really. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Not saying anything should be like kapow.
That works well until you don't respond to Commissioner Gordon. Then the story takes a strange turn.
Yeah. What I like about this, we've been focusing a lot on the idea of playing Batman. I'm looking forward to some villains, guys. I'm looking forward to solving some like dialogue puzzles or confrontations and stuff with the Riddler.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun. And for me, honestly, I'm actually interested in the fact that you get to spend time as Bruce Wayne, not just doing the detective thing or whatever, but just I'm hoping you get to be like, you know, making decisions about that aspect of his life, too, because that almost always gets like, you know, put to the side. Like, nobody gives a crap about that. But actually, that has potential to be really interesting if they do something cool with it. But it depends on what they do. So
In most of the media, like him being Bruce Wayne is like, oh, he's momentarily trapped.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Yeah. And that's it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's fine.
Which is a shame because the best Batman actors have been the best Bruce Waynes. I'm looking at you, Michael Keaton. Come on. Yeah. So good catch. I think this was announced like maybe like they got a trailer at a video game show, video game awards kind of thing. But to hear that they're actually doing something new is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I hadn't seen anything about it. So for me, I'm like, oh, really? Okay. Well, that's not surprising, but what's about it? Oh, that's kind of cool. So.
David and Ben, you guys, Ben, I'm sorry, David swooped you.
I wanted to double team it.
Okay.
But,
you guys double team it.
All right, Pokemon Go is a thing. Probably none of our viewers have heard about it, but apparently some people like it. In response to this, Twitch has done as Twitch does and has implemented Twitch Plays Pokemon Go.
So
Ben, you want to explain this? Because it kind of hurts my head.
Yeah, so basically it's the same setup as Twitch Plays Pokemon, but they've translated commands of swipes into text-based commands. So it still works the same way, except instead of saying like A, B, up, down, or whatever, you're saying like throw one, throw two, or like I think you use A through K to try and touch parts of the screen. So they've translated all the gestures into keyboard commands, and so apparently they're going to try and beat this game somehow. I don't know how that works.
I don't think the game has a win condition.
I don't think it's a game, but... Yeah, so explain the mechanics of this to me. Is it hooked up to a drone? Like, is this... I don't understand where the video is coming from, what's physically happening to the phone, and where the commands are going.
Sure. So yes. I was kind of disappointed that there wasn't just like a Twitch intern that they were making like follow all these rules.
Yeah.
But apparently they're spoofing the GPS and touchscreen inputs.
Hmm.
But what I'm not sure about is I think it would still need to be like part of the MMO-esque server. So even though the GPS isn't real, like presumably it is interacting with the same world as the rest of us.
Mm. Ugh, it's Team Mystic. Sorry, I'm watching the stream right now.
You know.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. There's all these people like acting as if their team is like a gang.
As if it matters. You know,
like throwing signs and shit. It's like, really? You just need to stop.
I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna have to drop this to the Slack. One sec.
Yeah.
Have you seen Dark Souls go?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh no.
Yeah, yep. I like just some of the speculation is that the way you play Dark Souls go is you know, just find someone playing Pokemon Go, invade them and take their stuff.
Yeah, I like the idea of instead of throwing Pokeballs, you throw dung pies.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's that is an image that lots of people brought to our attention. I think it was posted 5 times on the Facebook for Bonfireside Chat, but it is delightful. Yeah. Yeah.
Even I have seen it, and I don't pay any attention. So.
So I mean, I feel a little bit dumb for saying like, oh, how do you beat this? Maybe the goal is to catch them all, like just have all of like have this go around randomly and go to all the Pokestops and stuff like that. See, until you fill out the Pokedex, possibly.
I think we need to start a faction. Apparently, the game's currently taking place in New York. I think we need to start a faction that the real win condition needs to be to make it to California.
Oh, do Forrest Gump rules. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So this is, I mean, it's kind of inevitable, but yeah, I mean, cool. Good on them, I guess. How many viewers do they have? Sorry, I need to pull this up. I was just looking at it in the embed. Ben, you were drawn to this. What's your angle on it?
I figured this episode was going to be the Pokemon Go episode of the podcast, but we haven't really tiptoed into that yet. But well,
why don't we?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So now let's do
multiplayer.
The multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you participate. This is a question that Dennis put up with somebody else.
You
put it up. Okay.
And cool. I made it up.
Good.
I did it all.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me because I was going to say, is that correct? But I was not correct. You did. So Jala, I want you to ask the question that you asked the nice people.
Okay. Well, everyone's trying out Pokemon Go. So what's the funniest or craziest experience that you've had or read about so far?
Yeah, so let's go in here. Greg says, I heard one story that church attendance was up this last Sunday because people were trying to catch rare Pokemon there.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's a that is
because churches are a big place for these things. Like my dad's church, I can confirm, is both a Poke Gym and a Pokestop.
Mm-hmm.
So is are there different types of Pokemons there? Like, what the heck?
So
it's infested with Rattata and Raticate. I got one of both of those when I walked by there the other day.
I don't know if it's if it is confirmed that different stuff spawns around churches. I think that like the idea of a gym like that is a mechanic that I haven't gotten to yet. But what's weird is churches are kind of special locations in this game because they literally just pulled over a bunch of stuff from Ingress.
Mm-hmm.
This company's previous game, where there was a special reason for churches to be special in the game.
Well, and then also signs from like parks or even just like neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
The signs, they're apparently a big deal too, because like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much everything on campus is tagged.
Yeah, I went on a walk today, and like there's the St. Cecilia Church, which is about a half mile from my house. Went around there. There are like four Pokestops, like at different corners of the place, and they're all statues and stuff. It's actually really cool because I've always appreciated that church from afar, but I've never gone up to it. Also, at the intersection by my house, there is a church, but also the Oakley Masonic Lodge. Don't be creeping, please. The church is not a gym, but the Masonic Lodge is, and nobody has taken it yet. So I need to go and hold down the fort.
I don't know. I mean, do you really want to, incur the wrath of the Freemasons?
I technically could join them at any time.
Oh boy!
Just saying, New World Order.
David, what does Graham say?
Grim says, the reported Pokemon Go muggings are pretty alarming, but whatever gets Pokemon back in mainstream recognition is all right with me. I just want people to say, gotta catch them all again, like in 1998.
Yeah. It's funny, like the articles that have come out. There was an article on the Washington Post today that is like, I'm already sick and tired of Pokemon Go, and I'm not the only one. You see all those photos of the signs in storefront saying, don't only customers can catch Pokemon here. Police stations are like putting this stuff out. It's like really, it's bizarre to see this much like, heat around the idea of Pokemon again.
See, I don't get that.
Don't get what?
I don't get why people have a problem with it. I mean, are people just like anti-fun now?
Well, here's the thing. Like in the case of the police station, I saw one where like a police station keeps on kicking people out because they're trying to catch a sand shrew. And like, if you're at the police station and you are trying to do police business and there are just random fucking people coming in and trying to catch a sand shrew and they have no reason to be there. Like they're just getting in the way of all the people who actually have business at the police station.
Yeah.
So I understand that, you also don't want people loitering around. Like you need to, keep the premises safe in that particular case. So like, you don't want to, whatever, there's prisoners and shit. Like, what are you doing?
And none of these places asked to be this,
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
is the big thing. And so
that is the big thing.
When like all of a sudden you have like this huge ingress of people, or influx rather of people, I could see that being somewhat baffling. And also like, the popularity of Pokemon and just the fact that it's free, et cetera, and on down the line. Nintendo's stock jumped 25%.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I feel like, shouldn't they prove that they can make a profit off this first?
It's already profitable.
Really?
Yeah, it's already one of the top grossing apps in both Google Play and iTunes.
Yeah, I heard they're making like $1 million a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That kind of surprises me.
People are buying their coins.
Yep.
Yeah. Ben, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, I think the weirdest I've seen the conversation I had earlier with a usually even thinking person who said that Pokemon Go has changed society in a profound way. He was not joking either. I'm sure it's a game. It's a fun game and it probably has gotten some people out and walking, etc., but it has not changed society. And let's face it, it will not change society either.
It's been 2 days as of the time we're recording.
Yeah, right. It's not been out for all that long and it could go the way of Miitomo and just disappear off the planet. You know, I mean, is anybody still playing that? Sorry if you are.
I did kind of like the tweet I saw someone do. Pokemon Go has done more in 24 hours to combat childhood obesity than Michelle Obama has done in 8 years.
anybody
or any one force has. Yeah.
I just, again, like this kind of thing has to have like a lot of more legs. It's funny to make that observation. There's a really cool like timeline tweet that I saw. It's like the timeline of Nintendo's online or mobile strategy.
That 2008, was good.
Nothing. 2010, what's Android? 2014, still no. 2016, remake society. Or something like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. It just, it's just a matter of will people stay interested or not.
Yeah.
Jala, what does Kyle say?
I'm going to actually interject and say I'm going to read the person from Slack first.
Mm, do it.
There's Sean Squire in Slack says, the weirdest part is how many non-gamers at work are playing it. I can totally vouch for that.
That's weird.
Anyway, we only get GPS reception at the front of the building, and we spent a full day just hanging out near the front door catching Pokemon and waiting for more to appear. No work was done that day. It's recreated that schoolyard rumor mill that everyone talks about when they remember Red and Blue. People who otherwise never play games are trying to figure out the best way to get a great or exactly how much distance a footprint equals, and everyone has different answers.
Although apparently it's not a myth that you can pick Pikachu as your first Pokemon.
Yeah, apparently there's a real convoluted way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing that as well. We'll get to that. We'll get our stories at the end. Let's see here. I'll pick up with Kyle, who says, my two experiences. Every night around 11 p.m., people drop two lures in the park outside my house, and everyone in the neighborhood comes out there to sit down on the grass for 30 minutes. It usually ends up around 10 to 25 people out there. Jesus. The other is on campus. Someone will drop a lure, and everyone stops moving and just stares at their phone and starts chucking Pokeballs. It's really eerie walking around the campus as everyone freezes, like it's some sort of horror movie. Yeah, if I could make the noise that Donald Sutherland makes at the end of Body Snatchers, I would, but I can't. Man, I can't imagine doing this on a campus. So,
we'll get to that.
Nice. Let's see, David, what does Steven say?
Steven says, there's actually a girl in Wyoming who found a dead body while catching them all.
Yep. That was the first major story around this that I saw.
Yeah, mine too. That was the first one I'd seen.
Yeah. I mean, and so people were blaming it on the game, but it's like, I don't know, the only reason that she's there, like, okay, yes, it was because of the game, but like anybody could have been walking around there like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do feel like though, that would, you know, presumably now be the place to, you know, catch your ghost type Pokemon, right?
Yeah. Ghastly. You ever notice that Ghastly sounds like Humpty Hump? Name's Ghastly, pronounced with the Astley. Ben, what does Kian say?
Kian says, earlier today I defeated a strong Abra to clear out an opposing gym. I then replaced it with my really weak Metapod, which I had called the new meta.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty awesome.
Naturally, it only lasted 5 minutes.
It doesn't matter. It's still awesome.
There was a dumb article on Polygon, which now just has like a whole section dedicated to Pokemon Go, talking about like just the sequences of people's Pokemon's names and grids. Just kind of like forming different song lyrics. So like, somebody once told me the world is gonna like just like the lyrics to All Star, Mad World, and a bunch of other stuff. Good names. I haven't messed around with that, but that'll be fun.
Well, everyone's gotta have a hobby.
Pretty much.
Jala, what does Michael say?
Michael says, a friend of mine actually got a diver's waterproof iPhone case so they could grab some sweet underwater Pokemon. Unfortunately, they didn't realize 3G doesn't work so well in the ocean. That's pretty rad.
That's more foresight than I would expect somebody to put into that, because at least the stereotypical stories that I've heard is just kind of like somebody will see a Pokemon and then walk toward it and not realize that they just stepped off of a bridge.
I mean, apparently, you know, water types do actually, you know, only spawn in water or whatever. So, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, there's maybe something to that.
Well, see, I have Staryus and Goldeens that appear in my office constantly. Yeah. I mean, my dad has a koi pond, but that's pushing it. It's not that big. It's really not that big.
Are you sure you are not secretly underwater?
It is humid everywhere. The air is ocean.
Yeah. It's like walking into an armpit. Yeah.
Ew, thanks.
Sorry.
We are so pro Houston.
No, I mean Cincinnati is exactly like that. I say that any day it's humid, and I step out and I have an audience. Yeah. Let's see here. Gus says, I decided to give it a shot when I first started the app, and to my surprise, there was a Bulbasaur literally in front of me. There was also 6 other Pokemon and 3 gyms within a few blocks of my house, but a hurt ankle is keeping me from roaming. Oh, well.
I want a Bulbasaur.
I think it spawns a starter around you when you fire it up. Like, I got my Squirtle at the as my first move as, like, the tutorial.
I have two Bulbasaurs. We'll talk about mine. We'll talk about mine later.
All right. Let's see here. David, what does... Oh, wait a second. Yeah, what does Dustin say?
Dustin says, saddest thing that I've seen so far is a dad ignoring his children at the zoo while he caught Pokemon. I mean, I understand the addiction to the game. I play it as well. But not when my son is seeing a giraffe for the first time and asking me questions about them.
Yeah, that's shitty. Yeah. Especially when you can involve the kid, too.
Yeah, but for real.
Maybe not when they're actual real-life Pokemon in front of you.
Yeah, exactly. But there's real Pokemon.
Yeah. I'm scanning.
But don't put them in balls. It's a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're like porcupines. They roll around, right? Or those are hedgehogs. Fuck.
Armadillos?
Yeah, there we go. Armadillos.
There you go.
Pangolins.
Be careful. You can get leprosy from armadillos.
Ugh, yeah. Wow. You get the plague from prairie dogs, right?
Yeah.
Everything
basically
is a nightmare.
All animals just all
it's a wild animal horrible. Don't touch it, it's a bad idea.
Yes. Unless the zoo is specifically for petting. Who read Dustin's? Was that
was me.
Okay. Ben, it's what Steve. Does Nathan say?
Nathan says, I work for the state government as a manager at my state's equivalent of the DMV. My regional manager sent out an email today to all of the branch managers. This is copied right from the email. Good afternoon, everyone. Many of you are wondering, what is Pokemon? Please read below to find out. It was the most surreal email I have ever read at work. I guess people were hovering around outside certain branches and trying to take pictures. It fell to upper management to educate us all on what Pokemon spots are and how this is a form of wish fulfillment and escapism.
I'm just picturing a different version of that scene from Fear and Loathing where the State Highway Patrol guys are giving the talk on drugs. Now you see a Pikachu.
Just look down at his phone.
Oh, see, I was thinking more, yo, we can't stop here. This is Zubat country.
Solid.
Oh, man. Jala, what does Jonathan say?
Jonathan says, how about reading tweets from your local port authority that encourages people to use the bus to hunt Pokemon and tag them with any Pokemon found, and they use terrible puns while doing so?
Let me see.
That's
here.
A great idea.
Yeah, that's a fantastic, like, whoever their social media person is.
Yeah, I actually, I read an article about how there is a shelter that is saying, hey, come over here, and while you're going around playing Pokemon Go, walk the dogs.
Oh.
You can come by and get dogs and walk them at the shelter so they get exercise and some loving while you're playing your damn game. Like, good idea. That's cool.
You're saying I can rent a dog?
Yeah, totally rent a dog.
Huh. That's pretty good.
So that's a thing.
No, yeah. That's great. I could also see. So here's what's weird. I went on a Pokewalk today. There's a Pokespot on a mural on the side of a coffee shop nearby, and I walked in and they were really busy. Correlation is not causation, but like, how lucky is that for them? Maybe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see this getting dirty really quick if you start paying to monetize, like getting gyms at certain places or Pokestops at certain places.
That would absolutely be the case. Like, I could totally see that being part of the business model, which is part of what makes this scary, for as much as I'm like laughing about it and kind of having a good time with it. Have you found a Pokemon or Pokestop on the bus or T? Show us what you find and tag us. Yeah, that is a fantastic idea. Whoever did that is in Allegheny, Pennsylvania. Let's see. That was you, Jala, right?
Yeah.
And Jonathan. Eric just shares a picture of a Rattata balancing on a dog's leash.
It's his dog.
Oh, it is his dog. Okay.
It is his dog. And also, like, there was comments when he first posted the picture that was like, that were like, oh, the Rattata is trying to free Jax.
I had a friend post on Facebook a picture of a Rattata, like, sitting next to a dead mouse.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
Oh. So since that was just a picture, I'll pick up with Gio Law, who says, my favorite news story is the one about the hate organization Westboro Baptist Church. Apparently, since it's a landmark, it got chosen as a gym. Apparently, for a while, the champion there was a user called Love is Love. The church has announced that it is taking this very seriously and is training to capture and defend their gym. I've seen some art they supposedly put out with the Jigglypuff and the words Pokemon Go and Sin No More. Screw those guys, but that story is pretty hilarious.
I don't like, as much as they are horrible people, I've sort of kind of liked the fact that their approach to solving this was not like we're going to randomly sue, but was we're just going to like take this over.
Hey, this is the WBC. they're going to sue. Don't you worry about that.
I like to imagine it as like a much darker version of like all those like you know teen like movies where like we have to win the big game to save the you know the local hangout.
Yeah. Oh gosh, we have to have the bikini car wash to save the to save the youth center.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. David, round us out with Chris.
Sure. Chris says, my favorite part has been the total takeover of my Facebook feed, completely replacing the horrible daily news of death with fun Pokemon photos.
Yeah. That's one way to forget that the world is awful.
Yeah, mine ends up being like a duel between Pokemon and Overwatch memes.
So yeah, this is weird because I know Dennis has been playing, and so like all five hosts of the show are kind of going crazy with us, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, sort of. I'm okay. I run, but mm-hmm. I'm probably the absolute laziest Pokemon Go player because I don't fucking go out of my way at all. Like, I open it up if I'm at home and I'm laying in bed, like, screw everything, I'm just gonna play a game on my Vita, and I'm like, oh, hey, Pokemon Go's a thing. And my bedroom is apparently a Dodoo nesting ground, because there's, like, 50 million of those fuckers in my house. And so, like, yeah, I've caught a bunch of those, and I've decided that I'm going to, like, up the levels on a Dodoo, and I'm gonna, like, evolve it and all that shit. And that's going to be, like, my main Pokemon because it just happens to be in my house all the goddamn time. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not a problem that you're on a mission when you're out running.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, when I happen to be doing, because I have different types of training that I do. And, you know, when I'm running, I don't mess with it. If I'm doing zone 2 heart rate training, which is like a lot slower, I have time to jack with my phone because I have to keep my heart rate in a certain range, mm-hmm. which is pretty low. And so when I do that, yeah, I can open up Pokemon Go and every once in a while I'll mess with it and then I'll go back to reading email or whatever I was doing. So, you know, yeah, I'll like coincidentally do that when I'm off doing zone 2 training, but I have not once specifically gone to any location for any reason related to the game. So I am very lazy when it comes to that. I just like, oh, hey, I guess I can open that. And oh, hey, look, there's something, I'll catch it.
So have you seen anything cool, like while you've been out, like, you know, if you have taken a diversion or stopped to like notice something, have you like interacted with other people at a Pokestop? Like, you know,
there is nobody in my neighborhood that plays this damn game.
Oh, wow.
Like, I've seen people in other places, like when I've been out already, like just driving around and shit. I see people who are obviously playing this game. I have not seen one person, kid, adult, nobody, who is playing this game in my neighborhood. So, like, you know, insofar as being out and about, I haven't seen anybody. So I haven't had any interactions with anyone else. I haven't, you know, like not directly in person, like talking about the game is one thing, but, yeah, so, like...
Jala, the gyms are yours.
They're yours apparently. For the taking. Apparently, I did reach level 5. I could totally take over a gym, but it's just like I haven't stopped in my zone 2 walking, you know, my zone 2 like jog training stuff to, you know, like I pass one of the gyms, but I haven't bothered to mess with it at all because that would require me to stop doing what I'm doing or to like hover and go in a circle and I'm like, no.
See, right. I can't help imagining like when you talk about, you know, passing by and taking over a gym, like, what was the Bruce Lee movie, like, Fist of Fury, where, like, the karate dudes bust into the kung fu gym and, you know, challenge them to a fight?
Gonna have to trust you on that one.
Okay.
Well, yeah. The weirdest thing to answer the actual multiplayer question, though, since I'm talking, I passed by in the hallway and out of nowhere, a Krabby appeared in my bathroom, which is really creepy. And it happened twice. And so it's very disturbing to me because I caught Krabbies in my bathroom. That's very upsetting.
That's not where they're. Oh, no.
So.
Oh, and shit.
Other than that, like, I caught a Tauros once. I have two embittered Tauros stories. The first one is that I caught one when I was walking by doing my Zone 2 training. I was like, oh, hey, cool. I found an interesting one. And then, the app froze and just died. And then when I opened it back up again after restarting my phone, like, it was just gone. And then the next time, I walked by the same area the next day doing my training again, and I caught a Tauros, but it kept on getting out. It got out 4 fucking times. I had to, like, capture it. I had to throw a Pokeball at it, like, 5 times total to actually capture it. I'm like, you stupid thing. Yeah. Oh my God.
Am I the only one that, like, can't hit these Pokemon to save my life?
It's really hard to judge distance.
Yeah, and flying ones are really difficult to hit as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I get all kinds of flying types. That's all I've got in my damn house.
Well, I think.
Although Dodoans don't even have don't even have wings. How do they?
I was about to actually you, but I decided not to.
Well, I don't even know why. Well, it says it's a flying type, but it doesn't have wings. It's bullshit.
It is.
Anyway.
Well, they didn't say it was good at it.
Ostriches aren't good at it either.
We're reading it on potential. David, so you live near a campus.
Sure.
Like, what up with that?
Sure. Well, basically, the kind of my coolest thing is, you know, the entire campus is, you know, pretty much every landmark and, you know, hall and, you know, monument is tagged as some sort of Pokestop.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, except for the giant Bearcat statue, which basically is a Pokemon. But I mean, that's kind of cool. And there's anytime you go out there, there's a lot of people playing. In particular, like the green space, it's Sigma Sigma Commons is what it's called. There's, you know, a real dense, cluster of Pokestops there. Mm-hmm. And since it's, you know, flagged as, you know, outside, there's a lot of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll always just see people wandering around there. And one of my coolest experiences was, you know, being out there and, you know, every time a group of people like passes or something, people will, you know, share where they saw, you know, interesting Pokemon.
Yep.
So that's actually, I think, one of the features I like best about this that I feel like was really smart is the fact that, you know, anytime you're not competing with other people. Like, if you catch a Pokemon, that Pokemon isn't not there for other people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, generally speaking, there are, you know, an infinite number of copies or whatever there, which means it is actually in your best interest to, like, you know, talk to people and figure out where they caught things.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's really bizarre to, like, be able to clock somebody who is playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what it is. It's not like they're walking around like they've got that that little, like, watch thing that's going to be coming out. But it's like, oh, like, you're not, like, texting and stuff. You're playing this thing, aren't you? It feels a little bit like, for as much as it's out in the open, it's just a weird experience to be able to, like, into with that.
I feel like a giveaway is if you see a pair of people and they both have their phones out, I think that's usually a good sign.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you're just like, I mean, I'll get to mine, but if you're going to a place that you know is a, that you know is a thing, like, you know, if,
right,
you know what's
exactly.
up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, like anything cool or weird besides that, any interactions with people?
I think I had one like random guy driving by yell at me.
I mean, more so than usual.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always get like the asinine like roads that.
Yeah. But like by a campus, it happens all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know, like, just kind of to reiterate some of the other people, I think the weirdest thing is just how widespread it is. Mm-hmm. You know, just like I had to go to the Mac store to look at getting my computer repair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was looking at, they pulled up like prices on one of their, you know, display computers. And I like took out my cell phone to like take a picture just, you know, so I had the prices handy. And they saw the app on my home screen. They're like, oh, you play Pokemon Go? Like, and, you know, we had a conversation about it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Like, I guess that's not, like, crazy, but it's just, it really is weird how widespread it is.
Ben, how about you? I imagine where you work, like, a lot of stuff is happening with us.
So, there's a kind of weird experience. So, I live in Austin, but, like, they didn't really have the app updated. So up until yesterday, they did not have, like, Poke Shops around. They were not, like, abundantly around.
Oh, wow.
And so everything was, like, pretty empty. And there were two by, like, where my work was, but they were not, like, close enough for me to get near. But just today, they actually started opening up, and there's, like, actually Poke Shops and gyms, like, all around now. Because it was really bizarre, because it's like, I live in a really populated area, so like you would think that there'd be a lot around there. But yeah, so that was kind of a weird experience. So I basically played until I ran out of Pokeballs, and then I couldn't play anymore, so I wasn't really doing much with it. But I think I'll probably jump back on the wagon today, or fall off the wagon, whichever one.
Whichever one means you start it again.
Mm-hmm. See, yeah. I feel like there's a little bit, one flaw in taking like all the stops directly from Ingress is, you know, in, I don't know, I think I was the only one that screwed with Ingress much, but, you know, in Ingress, basically, kind of the way gyms work is how the stops worked. And you would, you know, be trying to take them over for your team, and then, you would then link them up, and basically, if you were able to, you know, say link three of them, you know, you'd take over a triangular section of territory. Mm-hmm. So if you had a like a dense area of you know, landmarks, yeah, that made it really easy to like farm a lot of items. But any like takeovers you did weren't worth that much because the points were proportionate to the square feet. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like with Pokemon Go, they don't really have that. So it is just like the more Pokestops you have in like a given area, the better that is as a place to play.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, it is a different incentive. I wonder how much the faction thing is going to, you know, kind of eventually start taking hold.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems kind of superfluous now, but
what color are you guys?
I have not chosen a color yet. I figured that the duck feeds would probably pick one, and I would join the masses.
So I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm going to go instinct. I'm going to go yellow because Zapdos is my favorite Pokemon.
Good man. So, I picked yellow as well.
See, I usually go like fire type in Pokemon, mm-hmm. although I feel like with, you know, duck feed, yellow makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah, the problem is it's probably way too late. We probably have a lot of Team Mystic or whatever the other one is. We probably have a lot of red and blue happening right now.
Yeah.
So we can have like a nice little inter-network rivalry happening, I suppose.
Does the Slack have a Pokemon Go channel yet?
No, most of it's weirdly happening in the Teenage Dirtbags channel.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Because they, because, you know, again, that show is mostly about Pokemon. So for me, so I work in a very large building. It is a quarter mile long, used to be a railroad depot. And there are three Pokestops that are very densely packed out, like underneath some bridges, like the bridges that lead into Kentucky, pass right over our building. And, there's a bunch of like
abandon hope, all ye who enter.
Yeah. So like, you know, I'm walking over railroad tracks and, you know, seeing just a bunch of like discarded beer and liquor bottles and stuff like that to get to like these portraits and, you know, not portraits, but like murals and, you know, kind of like art installations that are over there. Just like buy construction equipment and stuff like that. But those are the Pokestops that are over there. And, you know, it's a large building. A lot of people work there. And just watching slowly over time as people would kind of flock to this. And then, like, you'd go out. The strangest interaction is what I had today. You know, I stepped out and I saw you know, kind of a, and not an older woman, but, like, you know, older than, like, the 28-year-old who would be playing this for nostalgia's sake, like, you know, from mm-hmm. our office or whatever. And I asked, oh, you know, like, are you out here doing this? There's no other reason to, you know, to risk tetanus by walking through this tall grass. Like, you're basically in a Gears of War level to get this stuff. And it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm coming out here for my kids. You know, I didn't want to send them out here alone. And so I just kind of left them in the office so I could come out and get this. It just says, oh, I have to spin the coin, right? I'm like, yeah. And he said, you have an excuse. You've got kids. I'm 29 and I'm... Oh man, but yeah, that's been fun. And I've here in Oakley, I've got a pretty dense set of Pokestops within really walkable distance. Like this afternoon, I took a little walk and got out there while I was trying to hatch an egg. But it's been nice. I don't know how much longer I'm going to play it because obviously the novelty wears off. I've only been playing it for like a day and a half, something like that. Mm-hmm. But like, it has been neat to like cross paths with people on the way out to the disaster zone that is, you know, where those Pokestops are, and like have conversations with them, like, oh, anything good out there? Like, ah, you know, somebody had a lure, but it went away for a while. And I'm kind of interested to get to level 5 to where I can start engaging with some of these systems. And also, this is timed really well because I'm going on this vacation. And who, you know, I'm going to be going to DC, and that's going to be like a really dense place for Pokestops and stuff like that. Like, it's going to be pretty great. Although the craziest story that I heard was, did you guys see the Holocaust Museum ask people, hey guys, don't do that. Like, don't play Pokemon Go in the Holocaust Museum.
Well, yeah. I saw something like that about the Arlington National Cemetery too.
Ooh,
trying to tell people not to do that. And I'm like, oh boy.
Jinkies.
Fair.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is kind of soul crushing, but overall, this has actually been something that, like, I've really been impressed with how non-cynical people have been overall. in just, you know, just in terms of, like, it seems like pretty much everyone, except for, what would you say, like, the Washington Post or whatever, apparently, you know, basically has recognized this as, like, hey, this is just, like, a fun thing that's, like, you know, cool. I was expecting this to be, like, the next, what is it, like, Google Glass? Like, only nerds play, you know, Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and everything that I've seen has just been like replace Pokemon Go with anything else that gets people out and walking. And like, yeah, like, oh, people are walking into traffic. Okay, they're probably doing that anyway. Like, just as long as we have something new to pin the moral panic on. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I dig it. And what I've heard from, you know, like, just I've had a very similar conversation to what we had in one of our kind of responses here, which is like, yeah, this feels like it did back, you know, when I was playing these on Game Boy, you know, getting a little bit of that same feel, like, down to like just the idea of, you know, going to new places and stuff like that and finding this and meeting mm-hmm. people and doing the, not quite trading, but just trading information. Like, it's all, I don't know, it feels pretty good. And so good.
What you're saying is you're checking under every truck for Mew.
Yep. Until I find Missigno and he kills all my possessions.
I did. Aww. I actually had a friend post like his game just glitched out and was like, oh, numbers on the display. It's like, it's missing though.
Oh man.
I I had an interesting interaction with one of my coworkers today where he's like older and he has kids and he lives in the suburbs and stuff, but he tried fighting people and like the people out in the suburbs are like level 800. So they're like super serious. Whereas like around me, everyone's like around 200, 300. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see that difference. But
yeah. So yeah, thank you everybody for writing in, and this has been the extended Pokemon Go section of the show.
Are we actually going to have a grind?
I think so. We've only been going for about an hour. Let's do that. Let's go into
the grind.
The grind. I think that's what I led into. It's hard. We took a little bit of a break there. If not, this is the grind where we talk about the games we've been playing over the past period of time or so. Ben, since you were away last week, what you got for us?
So this is gonna be sad, but I was not doing any video games for the last week and a half. So
I don't
really have much. Well, I went on vacation, so that's why I was hanging out with family. It was so boring.
No, family.
Worst game ever. Yeah. I mean, I have played Rocket League. I did play that over the weekend since I got back, but that's about it. So okay. That and Pokemon Go.
Did you go anywhere cool on your vacation?
I did. I went out of the country. It was fun. We went to the Bahama type area, Caribbean area. Caribbean, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Neato.
Well, yeah. I can forgive you for not playing a video game then.
Yeah, right?
So sorry.
The real Uncharted.
I did play Pokemon Go, so it kind of counts.
Yeah,
we already talked beat that. Horse. Yeah,
we covered it. Did that. David, how about you?
Sure. Well, mostly I've been playing Pokemon Go. I also picked up real cheap on the Steam sale, a tower defense game called Defender's Quest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That it's basically kind of its conceit is that instead of actually having towers, you have the members of your fantasy RPG party. So you place them instead, and then they kind of have a dual leveling system where the characters level up through their skill tree outside of between combat. It's persistent, but then over the course of a level, you have to level them up in order to activate the skills you've unlocked. So overall, the game's it's fun. It's got some fun mechanics, but it's fairly easy. I fairly rarely lose a level. Most of it is it rewards you if no enemies get to the end of the maze and damage your main character. So usually a lot of the challenge comes from how can I manipulate the rules and stuff like that to make sure I don't take any damage.
Yeah.
I think the thing that kind of the thing that makes it worth the price of admission is it actually has a really likable art style and story.
Yeah, it's kind of a simplistic kind of like Saturday morning or like, let's say, late afternoon Cartoon Network kind of feel to it a little bit.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's on the whole, kind of a generic, fantasy story. Basically there's a plague that, turns people into, the undead when they, die, and your character is the only one that can actually kill these things. And yeah, I mean it's fairly generic overall, but there's a lot of comedy to the interactions between the different characters. It a little bit reminds me of a much less Dark's not the It reminds me a little bit of 8-bit theater in terms of kind of the style of some of the interactions, although not the same, like, all the characters are trying to kill each other tone.
Right.
But it also actually has, I think, for a game, one of the most effective depictions of racism I've ever seen.
Hmm.
Go
in
on.
That, like, I don't know. I feel like most games, when they do, you know, racism, they just, you know, they hit you over the head with it. You know, it's just, you know, it's blatantly obvious that, like, oh, well, my character is going to do the right thing, even though, you know, if the character was, you know, raised in a culture where that was socially acceptable, they probably wouldn't.
Right.
Whereas this is much more, you know, basically, you know, your main character, you know, who's, you know, their story's, you know, told from their perspective, you know, comes from, you know, kind of the dominant kingdom, and a lot of the, other characters come from, you know, kingdoms that basically, they're at war with. And so it's very much like, your character doesn't trust a lot of her teammates or like thinks poorly of them because of their you know, either just doesn't trust them because they're the enemy and they're afraid they'll turn on them, or, you know, just because their, you know, cultural practices are different. Just, you know, you read the journal articles and it's a lot of like complaining about like some of their you know, cultural practices in terms of like hygiene and stuff like that. And so it seems like it's much better written to be like, it's believable that a character could feel this way, if that makes sense.
Like it just kind of like bakes in the prejudices about the different tribes and stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's not so much like, you know, oh yeah. I mean, the Fallout, you know, people, you know, believing that all ghouls are evil, even though it's blatantly obvious that, like, all ghouls aren't evil.
Right.
But, yeah, stuff like that.
This is Defender's Quest, so you're playing it on Steam.
Yeah, so, really, I know, like, it's really, really light, but at least for me, I feel like I really like it in comparison to, like, you know, like, playing a lot of, Dark Souls, where everything's grimdark.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. And that's all?
Yeah.
Jella, I want to hear what you've got.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to mention is, a while back, I played a game called Dream Revenant, which is an iOS game, and I liked that game. The same guy who made that game also, before that, had made a game called Dreamscape. And I cannot recommend that game. It kind of feels like it's a prototype. It's exactly the same kind of setup, like with the hospital. It's in a dream world, that kind of thing. But the problem is that, like, it just didn't go anywhere. There wasn't a real, like, there's a map and there's clues about what you need to do, but there's not really an indication of where you find the items that you need to progress or anything. And so, like, after just wandering around in this game for a while, I just kind of like gave up on it. And Cole, you'd mentioned that you'd bounced off of this too.
So you're playing, what are you playing this on?
I was playing that on iPad.
Okay, yeah, that's where I did it too. It came up a couple of years ago on a sale. Specifically like a Halloween time, hey, this is a scary game kind of sale. And like the elevator pitch, you know, seems kind of like my jam, you know. You've got so it's apparently sold as a horror game, and you get the whole journey to the center of the soul. You're going into people, you know, surreal images that represent people's, you know, kind of internal lives and their deal. But like, no, it really was just kind of like walking around and reading way too much text.
Yeah, and it did not flow at all. Whereas in Dream Revenant, I really enjoyed that game. I mean, yes, it has a few bugs in it, but they're not like impassable bugs that make the game unplayable or anything. And the overall story in that game is cool, and I enjoyed the way it unfolded and all of that. But in this game, it just was like, bleh. It was not really well guided or anything. So, like, yeah, if you had at some point listened to me talk about Dream Revenant, play Dream Revenant. Do not play Dreamscape. So that's what I have to say about that. Don't do that one.
No,
anyway, so that was one thing. And the other thing that I've been playing is Virtue's Last Reward. So so far I've gotten two endings and I'm very near the end. Like, well, actually I guess I got three endings, but I'll explain in a minute. I don't so far care about any of the characters, but I may end up liking one or more as I go.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, all the important, interesting stuff happens, like, in the later part of this, you know, these games.
Yeah.
So, so far I've gotten Dio's endings, both the bad and the good. And I hate him. He's stupid. And I have never liked him at any point. I guess that's a good thing that I got him out of the way first, because that means that pretty much anybody else is going to be more enjoyable than his ass. So I was near the end of what I guess is Kay's ending, because he was spending a lot of time, you know, going through his discussions of whatever. But then it was just like, to be continued. So, like, I'm sure there's a prerequisite I'm missing. So I guess that's three endings-ish, but I need to go back to that one whenever I finish.
The Are other all these stuff. People named after letters?
K specifically is, for a very important reason.
Well, you've got K and Dio. Is there, like, Eeyore?
No, it's a, you know.
There's Sigma and Phi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so. I suppose you're right. Huh. Yeah,
so,
I didn't
anyway.
Think about that.
Are they Greek?
No, but they are. They are connected in some way.
Yeah, so anyway, I like the room escape parts all right, because, like, the room escape parts are ridiculous in the way the room escapes are, but that's just kind of, like, par for the genre, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's fine. But the gameplay and the Visinov elements are super disjointed. There is, like, no integration. It's just completely compartmentalized to the point that in the flow it says novel escape. Yeah. Novel escape, and that's all. And, those things being sequestered off don't work as well for me as the investigation and trial parts did in Danganronpa, as much as I wasn't a fan of that game the way it played out. Like, the actual gameplay part of it was better, in my opinion, than the way this is. So I felt like I kind of always had something to do in Danganronpa, where in this one I'm just like, oh, come on, skip ahead. And, like, sometimes I'll just push, you know, tap on the screen enough, and I'm like, oh, wait, I missed something important because I was just trying to get through all this damn text. Oh, my God. And then I have to go back to the log and read it. But anyway, the thing is, in playing this game, because remember, I didn't really play 999. I got the iOS port, which is basically you read it and then it says, after some puzzles, this happened. And then, like, all you do is pick doors and just read the story.
Right.
But since playing this, though, I have to say, I can see how the 999 iOS port, boring as it was because there were no puzzles, actually makes some sort of sense, because at least it's consistent in what you're doing. You are just reading, and there's, you know, it's not disjointed in the way that VLR is. So I can actually see that, you know, see that as a thing, but don't go into it expecting a game. Just understand that all you're getting is the story and that's it.
The iOS version of 999 VLR.
The iOS version of 999 is not really a game. All you're doing is reading the story to 999. So, like, if you are interested in playing VLR and you have not played 999, you can get the iOS port and just read the story if you want to. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you would, but, like, if that's all you want out of it is just the story, go for it.
Yeah, at this point, I would recommend just doing that, not playing.
Yeah. So anyway, I've only gotten through just a few endings thus far. I like KOK from what I've seen. Like, he's entertaining. That's good. But I don't know enough about the other characters to really say if I like them or not. The thing is that when I played 999, I actually liked some of the characters from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Like when I first was introduced to them, I had characters that I automatically liked, and I didn't with this game. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that they won't grow on me, but it's kind of weird that like in the same within the same series, there would be a game where like I actually like multiple characters immediately, and then in this one, I'm not on board with anybody at the beginning. I'm just like, okay. You know, I don't know if it's just because I was just coming off of being so upset from the last games I've played that maybe I'm just so upset and disenchanted that like I don't like anybody at all. And maybe that's it. But I don't know. So like I said, I don't really like particularly other than Dio. I don't like Dio at all. I totally hate him. Yeah. But like everybody else, like I'm all right with them more or less. So
I will say most of the characters will grow on you. Probably yeah. it was my experience anyway, because like it sucks going to a whole new set of people sometimes, after especially if kind of like me you liked the people in 999.
Well, I did like the people in 999. I'm not really opposed to like having different characters. It's just that like none of them have done anything that is particularly interesting to me, and like mm-hmm. I didn't like Clover in the first one. So far, she looks like a reject from the Flintstones, yeah. So I'm not really impressed with her, and I'm like, oh God, not her again. Mm-hmm. God damn it, somebody just kill her. So anyway, and I know it's not going to happen, but anyway, like, it's just...
yeah.
So it's just waiting for them to do something interesting. I really hope they do something that is interesting with Luna, because she irritates me, and I don't really want her to irritate me. Like, I would like her to have more to her that is like redeeming, that she doesn't just make me mad. Like I knew Dio was going to be like that asshat, mm-hmm. literally asshat. He has a stupid hat. So
yeah, anyway. Dio dresses like a ringmaster for like no apparent reason.
Yeah, like actually, listener Holland had said, I was like, what is up with Dio and his stupid hat? And then he's like, don't you know he's from My Chemical Romance? And it was just awesome. So anyway,
so is there like a canonical like win ending, or like how does that work? Are like all of the endings considered equally valid, or kind of what's the deal with that?
To go into too much detail on that would actually be a huge spoiler. Okay. It uses the form of a branching narrative in a really cool and inventive way.
Okay.
Yeah. To my mind. Yeah. Anyway, this is my opinion. Yeah.
Ben, you said at one point when things were happening, you had a question of some sort.
Yeah. Well, I was first going to ask about Dio, but I'm going to ask about all. Are just like all the characters unlikable in this game, or?
It's not that they're all unlikable. It's just that they're not doing anything particularly that strikes my interest, you know, makes me interested in them at all. Like, there's an old dude who's grumpy, but he cares about this little kid, and there's a little kid who's a little kid. The end. And then, you know, there's a very polite lady, and then there's the stupid Flintstones reject, and then there's Asshat, and then, you know, like, well, whatever. I mean, like, but basically, like, nobody in particular has been super interesting up until, like I said, I got a little bit more interested in Kay when I learned more about him when I was getting near his ending right before it just kind of reset and was like, nope, you gotta do something else first.
Yeah,
and then I'm like,
dumb.
Okay. But I mean, I'm pretty sure that they will have, you know, more complexity that will make them more interesting to me as I go. So far, you know, yeah. So, but at least I'm not flipping tables and getting mad at this game. Like, I'm not mad at the game, and I'm not like embittered towards everybody
who may have recommended
Cole.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Anyway. And then, too, a lot of the slackers are trying to convince me to get Danganronpa 2, by the way. And they're like, you should play it because like, it grew on me and you might like it. You know, you might like the first one better in hindsight after you play the second one and stuff like that.
That's a fool's errand. Wait until it's on deep, deep discount.
Well,
or wait until you can borrow it. Like, that's...
Well, yeah. And that's kind of the thing, is I was like, well, if it goes on sale, and then they're like, that game never goes on sale on the PlayStation Store. And then Sporky was like, oh, well, it's on sale on Steam. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm not going to sit and play a visual novel in this heat in my office that doesn't have very good insulation. I'm going to go sit in the AC in my bed with my Vita.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's not on Vita, I'm not going to be playing it.
Right.
So I don't know.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I'm curious to see how you like the way it resolves. Nothing can be said about the last third of the game without spoiling it.
Well, I mean, like, I'm pretty sure of two things. One, I'm not going to know what the fuck's going on because I read through all of the 999 stuff and I didn't know what the fuck was. I still don't know what the fuck was going on in the game. So, like, you know, I already know it's going to be bug nuts. And then the other thing I know is that it's probably going to grow on me and there will be things that I like about it as it goes through. So, yeah. You know, like, that's why I decided to play this one next rather than Steins Gate, because I don't know what's going to happen when I play Steins Gate. And I'm like, well, instead of getting potentially mad again, I'm going to play this other one first and I'll do this one first and then see how that goes.
The thing you really need to know going into Steins Gate is that there is no gameplay. Like, you select stuff and there's optional things you can do with a cell phone. But, like, I think it is a better... VLR is a better thing narratively, and also it's a better thing as like a game. Like, treat Steins Gate like you are reading a manga.
Okay.
That would be
a choose your adventure, right?
Yeah, but like with very little branching, really.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. That's fine.
Yep.
So,
you know. Cool. Well, I mean, I'm happy that you're tolerating it. It is.
I'm more than tolerating it. Like, I'm not just like, okay, I understand after the last episode I was just like, it was the I'm mad at Dennis episode and then also Cole. I was really kind of worried. I was really like, oh man, I sounded like I was just so bitchy that time. And then I had all these listeners tell me how entertained they were. And I'm like, that was entertaining for me to be so mad? Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, you know, like a little bit of spice, you know, not all the time. But yeah,
I guess, yeah. So, well, normally I'm not usually that grumpy. So,
just, you know, like I'll reiterate what I said that and like that time. It's like, oh, that sucks. Like I generally like that, and I was excited that you were going to go for it because, like, it, you know, I thought that it was going to be, you know, like that recommendation was going to be a gift, which it's always a gamble, right? And you're not like, nobody's obligated to like anything that is recommended to them, you know?
Oh, no. And obviously I will tell you all about how I don't like it if I don't like it. But I mean, you know, I honestly went into it anticipating liking it. And that's what was interesting about it. I'm like, you know, like I played through all of Danganronpa within a week. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I played it consistently. There were stuff to it that I liked. Yeah. It's just certain things just broke it. Mm-hmm. It just broke it. So, but I don't think that's going to happen with VLR. I don't, like, I'm still not going to know what the hell's going to happen at the end. And I'm probably going to be like messaging you, Cole, and being like, what the fuck? What the fuck was that? What happened?
If you played 999, the nice thing is, like, a lot of the what the fuck stuff, it's either going to be described, like, you know, if you get to the end of an ending and there's like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, if you got Dio's ultimate ending, you've already seen something huge about what's happening here. Yeah, the nice thing is the questions that you're going to have, if not, you know, immediately, like, they won't immediately be answered, likely, because there's so many different paths it can take, but because it's made to jump around in, you know, like House of Pain, you're going to be able, you know, like, the answers are there, and, you know, I think one of the faults of the game is that it over-explains itself, just like 999 did. But still, the stuff it's over-explaining is inherently really cool, and I came around on so many of the characters in a big, bad way.
Well, and see, that's kind of the thing, too, is that part of the difference between Danganronpa and VLR is that Danganronpa, to my mind at least, over-explained a lot of things, but it didn't do anything that awesome with the stuff they were over-explaining. So, like, I am more interested in the things that are being over-explained in this game, even if they are still irritating me with over-explaining it. So, I mean, like, you know, it's a little bit more tolerable, I guess, this is what I'm trying to say, because there's more to it that strikes my fancy specifically. So,
yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, if not on the show, keep in touch with me or, you know, talk on the channel about it, because I'm curious.
Oh, I have been. Oh, and then, like, also, you can see all of my crass commentary about stuff in the game also on my Twitter. Like, I've been posting that crap a lot, too, and I've had some interesting conversations.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, specifically, you said you were playing, and then, like, Jenny hopped on. Like, she's a big fan.
We were talking about Booby Ladies, and because Alice, and then, like, you know, we were talking about Booby Ladies, and I was like, yeah, but Booby Ladies are okay. That's fine. And then she's like, yeah, Booby Ladies are... and then, you know, at some point she was like, yeah, I'm a booby lady. And I'm like, well, if you're a booby lady, if you're the T, then I'm the A, and we have Wonder Twin powers. And I don't know. We just went off in a direction with that somewhere, yeah. You know, and just kept going. So, I mean, yeah, my Twitter sometimes can be a lively place of conversation. So check there.
Jenny is delightful. If you make it out to Portland, she often makes it out there for PRGE. That'll be a good time.
Oh, I know. I want to go to Portland one day. We'll see.
Cool. Well, is that all? I about said, Jenny, is that all, Jala?
One of those. We are Wonder Twins. Yes. I guess it works. It's fine.
the mini in
the
one.
J
is
name.
That all? Yes.
Yeah, the J name. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
The J name I do has this, finished.
I do the same with David and Dennis. Yeah. So it's a, you know, it's a thing. I get it from my grandparents.
We are legion.
I'm going to do mine real quick because they are both kind of mobile-esque experiences. Oh, remember last week when I said I was probably about 3/4 of the way through Zero Time Dilemma? No, I beat it that night.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And there's nothing I can say about it that won't skew somebody's opinion kind of perception of what happens there. So I will say... Good.
Can you say if you liked it or not?
Oh, I liked it. I didn't like it as much as VLR. Okay. So we should probably say that. I forget if at any point when we were talking about that game, we called it Virtue's Last Reward, specifically the second game of the Zero Escape thing. Yeah. Like, from context, because we mentioned 999, people probably got that. But no, like, we're referring to Virtue's Last Reward, sequel to 9 Hours, 9 Persons, 9 Doors. You're playing it on the Vita. It's also on 3DS. Zero Time Dilemma. I enjoyed it. Not as much as Virtue's Last Reward, but I think that, you know, it's one of those things, like, it's making me think about it afterwards, which is the highest compliment I can pay to a game like that, I think. I dig it. It's still probably my favorite thing I played this year.
Good.
So we are super ahead on Watch Out for Fireballs because, again, preparing for this vacation, we just recently, as like this past week, recorded the Rhythm Game episode about Elite Beat Agents and Rhythm Heaven, and I liked Rhythm Heaven so much that I got the new one for 3DS, like, immediately before we recorded that, because I wanted more Rhythm Heaven. Cool. So are you guys familiar with what Rhythm Heaven is?
I'm not.
Okay. Picture WarioWare, except the games are a little bit longer, but they are still these kind of mini game kind of things where you're doing rhythm based actions based around a song that is playing as it goes along. So like in one mini game, you are, you know, part of this fan club made up of monkeys cheering along this, the singer lady, and this other one, you are, you know, one of this set of like herons that are being trained as a duck or trained by a duck, tapping out triplets along to like a flamenco song.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. But like on the DS, it's a really, you know, it's a really fun game because like you're tapping on the screen and you do these like nice little flicks and you really feel like you're participating in the music. The 3DS one, so this is Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix, and this, you know, takes a bunch of games from the entire series, like these little mini games, and then mixes them and matches them and puts them together, along with some new ones to, you know, play on the 3DS. It's kind of a bummer because it doesn't use the touchscreen anymore. You're using the face buttons, which is, whatever. It's not using the hardware to the full effect like the first one did. Mm-hmm. From a play perspective, it's great because in the first one, or at least the one on DS, you didn't have any real indication of like how early or late you were, aside from like these really subtle kind of things. In this one, the bottom screen is used entirely to show you like these flashes, you know, left, center, or right, to show you how early or late you were. So it's really easy to like find the flow even without looking directly at it. Like if you get a big rainbow flash from the bottom screen, you know you're on rhythm, and if you don't, you know how to compensate for it. The bummer about it is, and there are a couple of bummers, the music isn't as good. It's a little bit less memorable. The games are fine, like the theming and the animation are amazing, but yeah, like it feels a little bit less hummable, and kind of simple and more kind of like overproduced might be the right way to say it. I understand that as you get further in, you actually get more of the games from the DS version, which, you know, all of the beloved ones that you know and, you know, care for. But I'm not to that point yet. But yeah, the other bummer is occasionally you get to these gates, and as you succeed or fail at these games, you gain coins, and you have to use these coins to pay these gatekeepers to do like a particular very difficult, like rhythm based, you know, mini game kind of thing. Like,
it's like a boss battle.
Yeah, it's like a boss battle, except it's a boss battle you have to pay to do. And if you flunk out, you have to go back and grind for more coins, which is not what I want to do.
Grinding is so much fun.
Yeah, I know, right? It is in no way the most tedious thing that can happen in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So I've used that as an opportunity to go back and gold medal the games that I have silver medaled. But like when I get to that point, you know, obviously the answer is, hey, just do it right, dummy. But when I get to that point, it really discourages me from wanting to play further. And so I put it down. And nothing in your game should make me want to put it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is still more rhythm heaven. It is still charming as all hell. And with those wrinkles, you know, I feel confident just keeping the DS rhythm heaven in my 3DS and having this one here to go back and forth with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Any questions about rhythm heaven?
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Better or worse than WarioWare?
It depends which WarioWare we're talking about.
GameCube, first one.
Shit. I'd say worse.
Okay,
but through the, I think
it's a tough comparison.
Yeah, the DS Rhythm Heaven is better. I think that the 3DS Rhythm Heaven is worse than the first one for GameCube.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh man, but yeah, that is a tough comparison. And then finally, I know Jolly, you're boiling alive in your skin. But I'll do this one real quick. Super Stickman Golf 3 came out.
Yeah.
Super Stickman Golf 1 and 2 are my favorite things on iOS. I've beaten all of them multiple times. It is a free-to-play game that I give lots of money to in order to get like different kinds of stuff. And boy, oh boy, is the third one amazing.
How so?
So it's mostly the same, right? You have the side view 2D golf game where you have the little strength meter. You aim your angle and then you hit the ball. Around lots of like crazy obstacles, and you have these power-up balls like, oh, this will stick to surfaces, this will, you know, this one will let you choose when you dead drop it, so like you can drop it over a hole, stuff like that. And you know, you can, it's possible to get like zero for shots if you do particular things. But yeah, it's like a really wacky kind of golf game, but it still has like that really satisfying, hey, you pick your angle and then you pick the shot, and that's satisfying. Yes, I succeeded at this. Great. What three adds it adds two things. The first is you can it's three taps to commit to a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So you tap it once to start the meter, you tap it again to stop the meter, but then depending on how that worked out, you can then aim and you can select any of your power-ups and then tap a third time to fire it off.
Hmm.
So adds
before you selected the power-up before you launched the shot.
Right. Yeah. So you select that before you commit to it, but you're able to do, you know, like aim and, you know, shoot, like do your power meter thing in whatever order you want to, essentially. Which is pretty good because like it helps you, you know, like figure out like, oh, I totally overshot this based on, you know, what I know about the way this game works. So let me like make this fine adjustment before I go again so I can make this not so bad. Right. The other cool thing that this does, and they have whole courses and holes designed around this, is it introduces spin. I'm sounding like such an old man about this, but it's so exciting. So what it does is it gives you aftertouch on a shot. So if you are about to like overshoot the hole, like if you're attacking, you know, coming in from the left and it's going to go to the right of the hole, you can take a little slider and then spin it to the left so that when it hits, it kind of kicks back up and then rolls backward. Or
is this Tiger Woods style where you can adjust it in the midair? Or?
Yes. But the cool thing is the longer after the shot, so the longer you wait to put spin on, the less spin it'll take. So like if you are doing like a real fine, you know, manipulation, it doesn't matter if you wait until you're right by the hole. But if you're like, no, this shot really depends on me like having as much spin on this as possible, because I know I don't want this to land where it's going to go, because again, you know, you're going to be like rolling through little tunnels and doing lots of really improbable kind of stuff, you just like crank that spin as soon as possible. And so what this does is it lets you kind of like stick a landing or, you know, not roll off of stuff you otherwise would entirely roll off of. And, you know, you're getting like negative 20 par on some of this stuff just by like real canny manipulation of this new system that feels totally at home within this.
So would you say, like, overall, these games, you know, the power-ups, the spin, stuff like that, does it make the games more accessible compared to like most golf games?
Maybe. So like one of the power-ups, like the one you start with, is just a mulligan, right? Like, hey, I totally biffed that shot, that put me in a bad spot, I can, you know, go back. As you go up in the courses, they start asking more of you. Like there are holes, like there are holes in spin land that you just can't do without like knowing how to spin, but you can practice spin all the way up to that.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And it handles free-to-play stuff really well. Like, you, you have, like, golf bucks, which you can use to, like, buy cards and things like that. But at the end of every hole, you get free cards. And those have any chance of being, like, more bucks or being hats or different bodies or different trails for your ball. So I'm a demon wearing a, like, toad mushroom hat shoots their ball and then, like, spaghetti and meatballs trail off the back of it. and I'd love to play this multiplayer with people. Like, I'll go in the Slack and I'll like publish my Game Center ID, but like I paid for the premium one, so I can have like infinite number of like racing matches going at once, you know, with folks. So like this game is so my jam. It's free to get, and then it just has like in-app purchases, but like this is, again, seriously the best thing that iOS has ever shown me.
Cool.
Yeah, so that is all. Do you all want to button it up?
Buttons.
All right. The credit. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Point of order, next week. Sorry, it was not this week, but next week, the show that would have come out on... Oh, and now the calendar doesn't open. Great. That would have come out on the 22nd. That show is not going to be a thing. However, we will be back the week after that. Again, I'm going on vacation. So sorry about that. You know,
do not be sorry about that.
Exactly.
But I have to work. If I stop moving, I die. I'm like a shark. but yeah, thank you so much for listening. Again, come out to the Austin Classic Game Fest if you are in the area and able. Again, meet Jala, meet Ben, meet B, meet me, meet Gary,
meet me.
Yeah, speaking in tongues.
I'm only going to be there on this Sunday. I'm not going to be there on the Saturday when the big meetup's happening, but Sunday's when the big show, like the show thing, is going to go on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the important day anyway. So there.
Yeah. Very jazzed about that. And even though you're not going to be there for the meetup, we'll get dinner.
Yay!
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that's all the big stuff. Yeah, we talked about the duck waddle at the start. Jala outlined the best ways, but what is the best way to participate in that if a listener is like, hey, that sounds like my jam.
Directly, you can message me in places. It's Jalachan everywhere. You can just literally just hit me up. I will give you a link and I will tell you all the details about how to get to us specifically, if, you know, my prior explanation wasn't enough. So, we have 4 spots open in our team. And if we need to, we can open up another team and have 2 duck waddles. Or duck something else, whatever
duck,
you want to call
duck
it.
Paddle.
Yeah, there you go, duck paddle. There you go.
Yeah, but so. it's only for rowers.
Yeah, for swimmers.
Yeah, cool. But there's all the usual stuff: the Patreon, the iTunes ratings and reviews. It's been a little while since we've had one of those. It'd be amazing if you did that. But otherwise, don't come back next week. But go back and listen to a recent episode of the show if you missed one. But yeah, that's just about it. So let's call this a night. I've been Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been David Minesmith, at Minesmith777 on Twitter.
I'm Jalachan in all the places.
I am Ben Merkel, at Merkelizer on Twitter.
And stick around for some titles. So I really only have one. I've got three, but I want to hear everybody else's.
Okay.
I stopped writing after "This is Zubat Country" because I felt pretty confident that would be the one.
That was one of mine. This is Zubat Country, and then the other one was Lawn Dart Pulling.
I had Lawn Darts for Your Feet. In reference to Heelys.
All right, David, what you got?
I did not record. I'm sorry, I've been slacking.
That's no problem. I have horseshoes with a body count. you had me at grappling hook. And then, of course, this is Zubat Country. There's no question, right?
No, there's no question.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure if anybody was going to argue with that, I would be very...
I would eject them from the podcast.
Yep, you're gone. Oh, cool.
He already ejected himself because the call got jacked.
Oh.
Cool, guys. I need to go to bed.
Me too.
Have an excellent vacation. When do you leave for your vacation?
Friday.
Okay. Have a good time, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right. I'm going to go take another shower.
Yeah.
Another shower.
David, before fly I sleep. Safely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody be safe and stuff.
For real.
Immigrant.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Peace.
Bye.